Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Jim, don't you wish all the people who have ever sent us correspondence or called the Suburban Party Line and everyone who listens to our show could all get together for one big podcast recording?
Well, sure, Patrick, but, we have listeners all over the world, and getting everyone together is next to impossible.
Yes, but there is a way to do it, and I'm going to make it happen as soon as we're done recording this intro.
How are you going to do that?
In my imagination zone.
Patrick, I see you have in front of you here some correspondence that we got
physical
mail.
Physical,
right?
Mail.
People, yep. Still send letters, right?
And in some cases, somebody sends a letter with a return address and an address with an exclamation point. And that's Paul Trapp.
Paul Trapp, yes.
Yeah. Just comes from Trapp.
We got somebody recently put on Twitter or Facebook or something like that. I think it was Facebook. I think it was Trip Bacon. Mm. Said, every time you guys do fan mail, he's like, I think of when Letterman would do viewer mail.
Viewer, right? Mail.
And they'd have like little theme and everything. And he said, you guys need the theme. And I said, would you write the theme? And he said, no, I have no musical ability at all. And we said, that doesn't stop any of us from doing things like that.
But not at all.
But if anybody out there would like to write theme music,
that'd be great
for our fan mail segments, you could do that. And that brings up my next point, which is that lately, when I have a few minutes to spare around the house, rather than get invested in it in a like full-on TV show these days, I'll just go to YouTube and watch like Letterman clips, and I'm just dying laughing at how funny.
So funny.
Because the clips that people isolate and put up on YouTube are like the remote segments, like Rupert G's Deli and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
And there was one.
Please stop calling me Chief. But no one's ever done it.
It was one of the funniest things I've seen. It was so funny. But anyway,
Rupert G is kind of a classic forgotten character on Letterman. He was so nonchalant about everything. Yeah. Just like, no, Dave.
That was the beauty of it.
He was just, so good.
Because he was so like not like a TV personality. Yeah. That's what made it completely work, right?
Just the guy who had a deli near David Letterman's show.
That's right. And he would go along with anything that
really
they did.
Would, yeah. Good stuff. But we got this envelope from Paul Trapp, and I put on Twitter, I'm like,
so we don't have music for this, Paul.
No, we don't have music for this. No. Okay. I said, I'm real excited about opening this letter, but I know the rules. Like, I have to wait. Then Paul Trapp responded and said, lower your expectations.
Okay. All right. So while you're opening that, we'll just say that the show is called Rockin' the Suburbs, and I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And then got the very nice.
Ooh,
sound effects.
Actually, I'm excited about this, Jim. It's a space skull sticker. Yes. Thank you, Paul. Space skull.
Says
Detroit.
He wrote here on this one. He said, these are going to look great on your back bumpers.
Yes, they are. And it'll be online shortly.
So Space Skull was the band from Detroit.
Right.
So that he saw on a backyard. Something like that.
Something like that.
Very cool.
Very cool.
I think we played something, didn't we?
Yeah, I believe we did play some Space Skull.
It was very cool.
Yeah. Thank
Love
you, Paul.
It. Yeah. For me, it might be on the laptop or something like that.
Yeah,
but anyway,
absolutely.
I will display it proudly.
Okay.
That's really cool.
That's
sticker.
Great.
Thank you.
And man, it's so cool when a professional artist sends you an envelope because he takes such care to do the lettering.
And
so
where
cool.
can people send us things like cool stickers and such?
I'm glad you asked. You can
alcohol.
Address it to... That's right.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
I've had that happen.
Address it to Rockin' the Suburbs! Exclamation point is optional. 800 West Broad Street, Box 6577, Falls Church, Virginia, 22040.
There you go. Send that in to the home office. Then people can also call, or they can email, or they can go onto our social medias, and then sometimes much later we get to this correspondence.
That's right.
And I apologize for that, but here's the thing.
Months later,
we're going to address a couple of older pieces right now. And most people would say, like, well, you know, this stuff is maybe a little musty by this point. Why don't you just get rid of it? No, we like to come back. And if somebody wrote something of interest, something where they put some real thought into it, something where they have a point, they want to make it, we want to get to that listener, that person, and acknowledge it and get it out there into the world, right?
So absolutely. And I will tell you this really quick. You can go back and listen to the episode it's referencing. It'll take you about 15-20 minutes, and you'll be fresh as day.
There you go. So this came to us via email all the way back in October. We're just getting to it now. I apologize. We got a lot going on.
Yeah,
we
did.
It is from Mackenzie Crenshaw, and we recently had her on.
Lovely person.
And she, you know, talked about some album anniversaries recently and all of that, but she had written to us before that appearance. This is concerning when I did an episode about a trip I made to Detroit for the Motown 60th anniversary concert, which was really, really super cool.
Yeah.
And that was last fall. It was episode 706.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Called Jim's Motown Adventure.
That's right.
And I talked about that. And then this is what Mackenzie wrote to us. She said, hey, Jim and Patrick, I think a Motown episode means I'm obligated to respond. She's a big fan. She said, Jim, I'm super jealous about your trip to Detroit. It sounds like you had a great time. I drove past the museum, the Motown Museum, recently, and I got really excited about the expansion. I agree. The renderings look amazing. After seeing what can be done with similar expanded music museums like Stax in Memphis, I am really excited to see and visit the completed project. You mentioned the idea of a 100-song Motown playlist. If I'm remembering correctly, I think what I was saying was that you could put like 100 songs from Motown and everyone would be great.
Right. That's right. You know?
She said, I make an update that regularly.
Yeah.
Here's my most recent one to be found on Spotify. So we can post a link to that with the article and for this episode.
Yeah, totally. And it's so cool because it's called The Altar of Hitsville. That's a great title.
Oh, yeah. It's very good.
Yeah.
And then she says, and to Patrick's point about Motown songs that make you cry, it has got to be What Becomes of the Brokenhearted by Jimmy Ruffin. Originally, the song was written for the Spinners, a fact I think is pretty obvious if you're familiar with the group, especially prior to their Philadelphia Soul days. But Ruffin's raspy, pleading type of vocals fits the mood of the song just right. Like his younger brother, David, of the Temptations, his voice was made for sad breakup songs. The prime example for David, as you pointed out, would probably be I Wish It Would Rain. What Becomes of the Brokenhearted is slow and repetitious, and I read it once described as a funeral march. Apparently that was something that almost prevented it from being released, but the lyrics, which are pretty dark for a Motown song, keep it moving. I mean, the first verse ends with happiness is just an illusion filled with sadness and confusion. I think that kind of hopelessness provides a break from the stream of songs like This Old Heart of Mine and Get Ready and You Can't Hurry Love from the mid-60s Motown catalog. Along with it being an accessible breakup ballad, I think the tone matched the political and cultural moment of its 1966 release year, making it both a successful single and a snapshot of a particular cultural moment. Crying session has come to an end. Hope you guys are doing well. Thanks for the daily listening and letting me let my Motown feelings out. Best, Mackenzie Crenshaw.
Beautiful. That's as timeless as a Motown song. That piece of correspondence is not old at all.
No, no. It still holds up, right?
All
right.
Totally, man.
Let's hear some Jimmy Ruffin. Fantastic song.
Yeah, lovely. Very interesting. I was just reading about the song here, Jim, and it says a few years after its original release, 8 years later, I'm sorry, the song was reissued as the B-side of the song Don't You Miss Me a Little Bit Baby, and it surpassed its original placing, reaching number 4. So the actual re-release as a B-side was a bigger hit than the original single. That is cool.
Very cool. All right.
Just a little bit of chart data for you.
Let's get on to another topic here. This is also from last fall.
Mm-hmm.
We had some correspondence around a patron episode we did with Eric Lorenz, where he talked about some album anniversaries.
Uh-huh.
And one of those albums was Rattlesnakes by Lloyd Cole, right? All right. Here's what Niklas Nygaard had to say. On the train from Stockholm to my hometown Falun, listening to the episode where Eric Lorenz talks to you about Lloyd Cole's Rattlesnakes, it's a brilliant pick and a favorite album and artist of mine. However, The number one pick of Lloyd's albums is Don't Get Weird on Me, Babe, which has had a huge impact on what music I listen to and have listened to since 1991 when it came out. Not only is it on my top five list of favorite albums of all time, it also made me discover Matthew Sweet. He and Lloyd are my top two artists of all time, but that's not why I'm writing to you. I've been fortunate enough to see Lloyd perform a number of times in Sweden, and he's got such a warm sense of humor and self-distance. He's also mentioned on several occasions that there's a long-lived misunderstanding that he is Scottish. However, he's from England, but did study at the University of Glasgow when he met the members of the Commotions. Lloyd also released his latest album in July, and it's a really good one, too. Great reviews and some truly great songs, such as the 80s Smelling Violins.
It's got a whiff of the 80s.
Yeah. Top notch. Keep up the great work with the podcast. You guys have created a fantastic little universe of music nerds. It's a real treat having a new episode to listen to every day of the working week. Rock on, guys. All the best from Niklas in Sweden.
So yeah, nice. Go.
Are you familiar with this Don't Get Weird on Me, Babe album?
Heard it a couple times. Really interesting to me that two things about that correspondence. One, that Niklas puts that at the top of his list, which is very interesting. I'd like to know exactly why or how it made him discover Matthew Sweet. Is there a connection? Does Matthew Sweet play on the record? I'm not that familiar with it.
I'm going to look this up, okay. But I think it's the other way around. I think Lloyd Cole played with Matthew Sweet.
Okay.
So what song should we play from the album he recommended
Don't
here?
Don't Get Weird on Me, Babe. I'll have to reacquaint myself with it quickly. Let's see what's
1991.
Good. Yeah, I'll tell you, man, this is a good one. You know, I like Weeping Wine, the second track. If you want to play a little bit of that, right, that'd be cool.
That is fantastic.
Isn't it great? I love that harmony / lead guitar that's playing that counter melody throughout the whole song.
Oh, yeah.
It's so sweet, man.
So I looked it up, and this does confirm what I thought, but I didn't want to say it until I had this in front of me again. Mm-hmm. Lloyd Cole did play on Matthew Sweet's Girlfriend album.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yes.
Wow. I should know that. I don't?
I don't know how many songs he played on, but he did play some guitar on it. And because you also remember that Richard Lloyd played on that album.
Yeah, I know
and
that.
And so did Robert Quine, uh-huh, right? So
yeah, those slashing lead guitars on that album.
All-star
yeah.
cast mm-hmm. on that record. And then I did not know this, though, that in 1991, which was right around that same time, looks like Matthew Sweet was part of the Commotions on tour for a little while. He was part of Lloyd Cole's backing band,
wow.
touring band.
That's amazing. I didn't know that. I wish we get the chance to interview Matthew again, and I can ask him.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's one more.
Yeah, you mind if I take this,
Go
Jim,
ahead.
Because I am so happy that Jay Ignacio wrote this back in September, and we're getting to it now. He writes, like Alex Chilton, Cameron Obscura wrote, Lloyd, I'm Ready to be Heartbroken, as a tribute and response to Lloyd Cole's greatest song. Lloyd loved it so much, he sometimes plays the instrumental version as his walkout song in concert. Are you familiar with the song? Jim, it's so great. I just looked to see if we'd ever played it before. It is such an amazing pop jam. I'm so happy that we're going to play this song on our podcast. I've loved this for a long time. I really like that band, Camera Obscura. If you folks don't know them, you should go check them out.
Yes, great band. And this would be a good topic sometime to do,
yes.
too. Like,
I was thinking the same thing.
Songs that are in tribute to, mm-hmm. you know, an influence, right?
Absolutely.
Like of course, yeah. you know, the Alex Chilton song would be a prime example of that.
Yeah, I'm just going to open my heart and write one for you, folks.
There you go. So let's hear this. Lloyd, I'm Ready to be Heartbroken. We'll be right back.
Great stuff, man.
That's so funny because when we were reading the comment there, mm-hmm. it wasn't coming to mind. But as soon as that song kicked in, I was like, I know that song. It?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great song.
Oh, it's really a great song. Yeah, it's a classic tune. Yeah, so cool.
It's also a lot of heartbreak on this episode.
Yeah, there really is a lot of heartbreak on this episode. Sorry, folks.
Okay, great stuff. And like I said, we promise we'll get to your correspondence eventually. In fact, this year we'll try to do a better job of keeping up.
Mm-hmm. We'll try. More.
Now, I will say, none of this reflects on Matt, intern Matt,
not
who puts the correspondence together. He does a fantastic job.
He gets into it every week.
Yeah, putting it all together.
As fresh as can be.
We're the problem here. We are the bottleneck, right? Yeah. So we'll do a better job with that. But thank you, everyone who contributes.
Yeah, and thank you, Matt, as you mentioned, Jim, for organizing that correspondence for us. It's an invaluable task. Priceless.
I wonder sometimes if he's thinking, like, I do all this work. These guys don't read these things?
These jerks.
All right. We appreciate it. And what was the thing he was drinking the other day when we had the Strong Patrick beer?
Mm-hmm. That's a really good beer. A friend of mine was recently in Canada, and he posted on Twitter a picture of the Strong Patrick. And I was like, yes, that's the best name for a beer you can get. So, very good.
It has like
some sort of wrestling connotation. Yeah.
There's like a wrestling mask, like a luchador thing. Yeah.
Luchador.
Yeah. And then
it's a red ale.
My experience, though, is that beer doesn't make you stronger, although it might make you think you're stronger.
That's right. That's why I love it.
Yeah. Well, it can be good or bad.
That's right. Okay. I'm just going to drink this and go run that marathon.
Or, you know, go take on that guy.
That's right. Right? Yeah.
Okay. Let's get out of here on that. We got some special stuff planned the rest of the week.
Yeah,
so
it's exciting.
It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you guys later.
Day in, day out, my tear-stained face pressed against the window pane. My eyes search the skies, desperately for rain. Cause raindrops behind my teardrop, and no one will ever know that I'm crying, crying when I go outside. To the world outside my tears, I refuse to explain. Oh, I wish it would rain. Ooh, let it rain, let it rain. I need rain to disguise the tears in my eyes. Oh, let it rain. Oh, yeah, listen. I'm a man and I've got no pride.
Data journalism. Luxury music content.